Well, bless your hearts. Let's take our Bibles and go to 1 Peter. She was up on her tiptoes with her neck outstretched. The small kitchen window gave a clear view up the sidewalk that led to the side door. And we expected him any moment, but he hadn't arrived yet. My brother had joined the Air Force almost a year ago, and he'd never been away so long. We all knew he was coming back, but none of us were exactly sure exactly what time he would get there. My mother, my sister, and I, and we busied ourselves as we awaited his return. And Mom gave me, as her manner was, another grocery list. This would be my third or fourth trip to the grocery store that morning. "Larry, quick! Go up the path, Mark. I can still make some S cookies. And you know how much Ron loves S cookies." Yep, those treasured little treats were only made at Christmas time, and December is already long past. But her labor of love just kept on moving. One more thing to bless him when he comes. My sister quipped something, Ron always said, as I headed out the door. And I don't remember the specific quote, but I remember I laughed, and we quoted back and forth to each other a lot of things that Ron would say, and we repeated them to each other. We all expected him to come up the walk the same way we had seen him go, and excited at his coming, but not disappointed that he hadn't yet appeared. It gave us a few more moments to do one more thing to honor his anticipated return. In 1 Peter chapter 1, there's a great record here, and it tells us, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven," or reserved in heaven for you. We have a lively hope. This is a hope. It's a lively hope. That means it involves everything from the soil to the sky. It is a hope that doesn't begin after death. It is a hope that starts with the new birth. It inspires us all the way through into eternity in the more abundant life. And it is joyful living now and blessings beyond measure in the events God has reserved for us in eternity. But it begins with the new birth. Many times we talk to people about the hope, and we're thinking of after we're gone and what's going to happen in the future. But really, our hope is an ever-present now, beginning from our new birth, because it gives us an assurance of the imminent return of Christ and the blessings forever in his glorious kingdom. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. I kept thinking about my brother's expected return home and how my mother, every moment that he hadn't arrived, it was a time to do one more thing. Let's do one more thing. Let's really bless him when he gets here. Let's do one more thing. And she inspired that in my sister and I. That there was, whoa, great, he's not here yet. Let's go do one more thing. Because we were so excited about his coming, we weren't disappointed sitting there watching the clock go by and saying, geez, he promised he was coming. When the heck is he going to get here? We just were so filled with one more thing. This is our life. This is our opportunity. Let's bless him with one more thing of his favorites. I think of that in the return of Christ according to the scriptures. Let's do one more thing that he asked us to do. Let's do one more thing that would bless him because we know it was his favorite, which is to do the will of God. In Hebrews chapter 6, there's this great record I'd like to go over with you. Because God's kingdom is a kingdom that is focused on love and light. And we should become more kingdom-minded and focus on love and light. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." Where we lose out on is when we as people think, how can I get on in this world? We worry about elections, civil rights, and change. What we need to do is change the way we think about the kingdom of God and our hope and become kingdom-minded, not world-minded. Think, how will I get on in the kingdom? By what you have tasted in this life of the good word of God, of the power that is to come, of world to come. It started with the new birth, and it is everlasting. In this world, we're told, don't get your hopes up. Every time there's something perhaps that you see in the future that would be a benefit for your life or something that will help you, what do you hear? Don't get your hopes up. That's good, because the reason is because the devil knows. He doesn't want your hopes up because it has a present effect now on everything from the soil to the sky if we become kingdom-minded and we allow the hope to become that which inspires our hearts for the future because we know our end. We have a lively hope. By kingdom-minded, I mean whatever rights men offer to you, they cannot perform, nor will they allow you to keep them. There will always be a threat of removing your rights. And so we get worried. Oh my gosh, what if we can't do this? And what if we can't do that? That is not inspiring. But God, in his kingdom, gives us benefits and truth on which to place our lives and rights that perish not away. You have the rights in the kingdom of God that no man can take away. You know, I guess in our Declaration of Independence that we have certain unalienable rights from the Creator, but they don't lay those out. Our rights from the Creator are absolutely sure, and no man at any time can take them away from us. You've tasted of the power of the world to come. You've tasted of that kingdom of love and light. How many of you have prayed for something and seen that prayer come to pass? not only in your own life, but in people that in situations for people that you know who have needed help, have needed deliverance, and simply by you going into the throne room of our Heavenly Father and boldly proclaiming and letting him know what the situation was, saw that person get delivered. You've tasted of the good word of God. You have tasted of the power to come. And no man can take that from you, but we can allow it to drift away from our lives, the truth of it. And that's what he's saying here. It's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. You've spoken in tongues. You've manifested that gift of Holy Spirit. I'll never forget the night Sam led me into speaking in tongues. It was just him and I in his room, and he led me into speaking in tongues. And I will not forget how I felt, how I was so full of joy, because I knew my life is changed and I have an assurance of my future. He knows my end. How about you? When you were led into the manifestation of speaking in tongues or other manifestations of the Spirit where someone ministered healing to you and you were healed, someone shared the word with you and you were delivered. How are you going to go back to that? Crucify Christ afresh? Don't ever let that drift away from you. If they shall fall away to renew themselves again unto repentance, you don't need to renew yourself. All you need to do is grab back on to the benefits. Live in light of the truth of the hope, because you have a full assurance. You cannot lose it. Become kingdom-minded. We have a lively hope. Don't worry about getting on in the world. People have already seen getting on in the world. And they don't come running. Let them see someone getting on in the kingdom, which is more important. Be kingdom minded. You have tasted of the good word of God. That word of good, that word good, the Greek word translated good, means harmonious perfection, an inward nature demonstrated in an outward shape. It's well suited, beautiful, physically exquisite, and morally excellent. Let people see that. We've seen morals go the way the adversary would like to see morals go. And people have seen that in the world. They have seen imperfection. They have seen corruption. They don't need to see any more of that. What they need to see is the kingdom. Let them see you getting on in the kingdom, not failing in the world. You've tasted of it. You've had a bite of that S cookie, and it's a treat. Has someone prayed for you and you got healed, rejoiced at having a need met, read the word and wept at its beauty, its perfection, and knew that it was God speaking directly to you, to your heart? Verses 10 and 11. Well, let's finish reading this. For the earth, verse 7, which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receive blessings from God. Don't you get, as Joseph was praying that it's springtime and we're going to see the colors and the beauty of the flowers, don't you enjoy, especially ones that you have planted, coming up and bursting into that wonderful array of color and beauty and perfection. Doesn't that do your heart good? See? Well, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. We expect better things of you. Those things that you have pursued to be like our Lord Jesus Christ, to represent our Lord Jesus Christ, to show forth God's goodness and kindness, to show forth what it's like to be a child of the kingdom, to be kingdom-minded. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Keep on going. Keep doing it. That's what people need to see. They've seen getting on in the world, and they are the ones that need the ministering in many cases. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Isn't that something? The full assurance. The full assurance of hope. Full assurance puts it in the realm of absolute. It's a full assurance. A full assurance. Full assurance. If you say could, it puts it in the realm of possible. But there are conditions that remain to be fulfilled. That's what turns could into does. But we have a full assurance of hope. That puts it into the realm of the absolute. There is no question about it. Nothing further has to be done because the conditions were met when God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and seated him at his own right hand and gave forth his gift of Holy Spirit. That put it in the absolute, a full assurance. People talk about, I hope this happens, as if there is no assurance. They should say, I wish this could. Then they would be accurate, because that requires the fulfillment of conditions, and then it could happen. But ours is based on a full assurance of hope, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and gave us his gift of Holy Spirit, and that puts it in the absolute, no turning back, no shadow of a doubt position. Isn't that a wonderful place to live? He knows our end, and he has given us a wonderful end and a great beginning. Look at 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians is this great record when Paul and Silas and Timothy went into Thessalonica and shared the word with the brethren there. And it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all. He must have been from the south. Making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. Why? Why is it patient? Because it is full assurance. It is an absolute. It is guaranteed. It is beyond the shadow of a doubt. That's why you can be patient, because you know. It is a full assurance. And how do I know? Because I am living it right now. Because I am living in the more abundant life which Jesus Christ came to make available. And it will blossom and culminate throughout all of eternity in the kingdom of God. With everything that he has promised, every benefit he has ever made unto man available. It's patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, because Jesus Christ is absolutely coming back. There is no question. It has already been resolved because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and he has poured out his gift of Holy Spirit unto us, and he is coming back for us. It is an absolute. Be kingdom of God minded. It's not going to fail. You have an absolute end. Live life in light of that. That's what makes it the more abundant life. The beauty of it, because we already know our end, and it is glorious. It is magnificent, and it is in his powerful presence. Well, it says, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. They got an absolute demonstration of what the future is going to be like. They got an absolute demonstration of what our hope contains. They got an absolute demonstration of it, and it's unquestionable. And in the Holy Ghost, not only that, but then they also got that gift of Holy Spirit. And in much assurance. Much assurance is full assurance. Why? Because the conditions have been met. It is not conditional. It is absolute. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Let's go to Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 13, it says, well, let's start with verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your what?
Salvation.
It is a full assurance, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that you believed, you were what?
Sealed.
With that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or the token of our redemption, our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. We have been signed, sealed, and delivered. It is an absolute, it's a hope, but it is a fully assured hope that began at the new birth. You cannot lose your rights from the kingdom. Perhaps we need to think about changing how we think about our hope. Perhaps our thoughts are still infected by the world's, cross your fingers, knock on wood, rub your rabbit's foot. I hope. Well, it didn't work out too well for the rabbit. That's for sure. He was hoping that he'd want his foot. But our hope is absolute, beginning from the new birth all the way. It's not something we are waiting to happen. It has already happened. And there are benefits yet to come, but it is fully assured because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and poured out his gift of Holy Spirit, and we have elected to be filled with it. Live it now. Be kingdom-minded, not world-minded. The world doesn't have much to offer. Don't get all upset about who's going to be elected to this or who's going to be elected to that. You've been elected to the kingdom. That's the most important election, and you've already won that one, and you have a full assurance, not could, not might, not hope according to the world, but you have been a hope that is fully assured in the absolute. Let's go to Romans 15. If that is not your thinking toward the hope that you have it right now, and it has benefits right now, because it is a lively hope, not a dead hope. It is a lively hope, and it affects everything from the soil to the sky. You have a lively hope, and it will help you and benefit you in everything. Romans 15, verse 13, it says, now the God of what?
Hope.
Hope. This is in the figure of, I forgot the name of it. But it is the God of, it's in the figure of origin. God of hope. In other words, the hope comes from God. He is the initiator. He is the God of hope. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in what? I'm in verse 13. You may abound in hope. Absolutely. Abound in it through the power of his gift of Holy Spirit. Wonderful. See, I'm persuaded of better things of you as I am persuaded of better things of myself. Let's not allow the world to determine our lives, to determine whether we have joy, to determine whether we are successful, to determine whether we have this right or we don't have this right. I'm persuaded of better things, things that pertain to the worlds to come, its power and its glory, and knowing our end, because it is an absolute. Ron did come up the walk, and we all rejoiced, and we all enjoyed the preparations that we made for him. We ate the S cookies too. I'd like to close with Jeremiah chapter 29. Perhaps we need to take another look at the way the hope is and the way we think about our hope. We have hope in this life because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and poured out his gift of Holy Spirit to us, that shows his election of us, that shows that we have a ticket all the way to eternity, that we are partakers of everything with Christ. It says in Jeremiah chapter 29, and in verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, that you may have an expected end. Bless your hearts. Let's live the full assurance of our hope. Beyond the shadow of a doubt, all his benefits are ours. Beginning in the new birth gives us a lively hope all the way to our expected end, the return of Christ, and our living with him and being like him throughout all eternity. Be kingdom-minded. Next week, we won't be doing a teaching from here, or we won't be sending out a link for the teaching or the CDs, but we'll be doing the communion. Jerry's going to be doing the communion. Connie and I have other arrangements and plans to be someplace else. So there won't be a teaching coming out next week. I trust that you all will enjoy your communions and be blessed by it. So God bless you. We love you, and we'll talk to you soon.